Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Well, it's time for another Real Talk with the Real Housewife, and I'm really excited to say hello to my co-host, and you always have such interesting people to talk to, Mary Ammons from the Real Housewives of D.C. Mary, how are you?
Hi, Neil. Thank you so much. I am so excited to have another episode of our wonderful show, Real Talk with the Real Housewives. And, you know, I am figuring out I have some pretty cool friends. And being on the Real Housewives has opened some doors to some meeting some amazing women. And two of them, this is the second one we'll be talking to, Aviva Drescher is currently shooting season 6 of The Real Housewives of D.C. Oh, sorry, not of D.C., of New York. I wish you were on D.C. with me. That would have been fun. She is in her second season on the show, and she's a mother of 4 children. And we had a very interesting introduction through our friend and her family member, Fran Drescher. But let me take this moment to introduce you, Aviva. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, it's fantastic, Aviva, for you being on the show, and I'm excited to talk to you. Mary's told me so much about you, and I heard a couple weeks ago you wanted to just do an impromptu interview just shopping, and I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, I would have done that. That would have been really fun.
You have your
18-month-old in the shopping cart. Where were you? You're at a container store.
I was at the container store.
But as mothers and busy mothers that we are, we can easily multitask. And Neil himself is a father of a bunch of kids, and so he knows how that goes. So we probably would have done a really fun interview if we had done it, but.
So funny.
We're here now.
You would have had me doing some real life screaming instead of on air screaming.
I would have been like, what's up? The container card. Don't touch that. Don't touch that.
I tried to conduct an interview driving to Hilton Head, South Carolina, and I found that my kids figured out every way to mess it up. So I had to always put it on mute, and I was interviewing somebody. And my wife's like, "How'd you come up with these questions?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, you just have to deal with these things."
So. Yeah, totally.
Multitask and make it happen. So anyway, Aviva, tell us how it's going. You're in the middle of shooting now.
Yeah.
And are you surviving?
Oh, Mary, you know all the pleasures of filming for Housewives. the fun and the glory of this business. We're in the middle. We're deep into filming, and it is. I am absolutely blown away by this season, and it really is going to be. I think it's going to be one of the most dramatic seasons ever on Real Housewives in New York. I mean, yeah, it is totally different from last year. So many twists and turns, and, you know, major drama. And, you know, as usual, I hate to say this, but I seem to be front and center again.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I swore to myself, I swore to the higher power that I would absolutely just be on the sidelines this season, and I wasn't going to, I don't know. It's like, you know what? Drama just hits me wherever I go. I don't know what happened, but I'm right there in it again.
Well, that's the name of the game, you know. Just keep your dignity as you so beautifully do. It was so fun sitting down with you a few weeks ago. I had an opportunity in Yale to visit with Aviva in person. We've been friends for the last year and a half or so on text. I was giving her some coaching as she began this embarked on this crazy train that she jumped on. Because she, too, has children, and she, I think, has the same concerns I had about how to keep your privacy and also not, you know, throw your children into such a vulnerable state by having them exposed on a reality show like this. But
it sounds like you've done a great job. I can see you've done a great job in maintaining, you know, your role in the show, as well as also managing your busy life and your busy family and all your businesses and your charities that you're involved in. So I commend you for that. And I knew you could do it. So I just, you know, I think my word of advice for you was to just be yourself and protect your family as much as you could and just have fun with it. And it looks like you've been doing a great job doing that.
Thank you, Mary. I think have fun with it is the best advice. And, you know, already you and I are both people who like to give back to society. And, you know, I've got that one checked off. And I think I just need to, you know, have more fun. It's just a little bit hard to have fun when, you know, a lot of the time you're arguing with people.
Yeah.
Well, tell our listeners about what you've been doing as far as giving back. I know you're an amputee. You suffered a serious accident as a child and lost part of your leg. And now you are the national spokesperson for an organization called One Step Ahead for amputees. So tell us a little bit about that.
So, you know, really, you know, one of the reasons that I jumped into this ring of gladiators, aka called the Housewives franchise, was really because I wanted to get, you know, on TV in front of, you know, probably 2 million people as an amputee, as somebody with physical challenges, and really just give other people, you know, some hope. Because when you lose a limb, you know, like anything that's serious, it's very, very, very scary. And, you know, you don't know if you're going to walk again. You don't know if you can have children. You don't know what your life is going to be like. And so by me being on air as an amputee, the most rewarding part of it has been helping people on a very large scale, because TV goes far and wide. It also goes, the show goes internationally. You know, on a smaller level, I have this charity called One Step Ahead, and we raise money for children who need prosthetic limbs, and we create athletic environments. And another charity that I work intimately with is called Challenge Athletes Foundation, and that one also creates athletic environments for amputees and gives away limbs that are needed for sports and for athletics. And I plan on campaigning to get insurance to pay for more limbs in general, because they're not covered enough by insurance. Oh. And I also meet one-on-one with as many amputees that I can who need a helping hand to adjust to their situation.
Very.
I did a little research on you. Sorry, Neil, I'm cutting you off, but I wanted to share with you and our audience that when I was doing a little more research on Aviva before our conversation, there's some really, really touching video clips on Extra TV where Aviva goes into the room of Heather Abbott, who's an amputee, one of the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing. And it's so touching to see you really give her, and it's very, like, right after her surgery, so she's freshly dealing with this emotionally and also physically. And you really did touch the audience with your compassion and also just giving her, you know, reassurance that she's going to walk again, she's going to dance again. And you forgot to tell her that she can get her toenails painted even again.
Yeah.
This is my favorite scene of yours in the season one. I love that scene where you're in the pedicure chair with were you with Ramona?
I was with Sonia.
Sonia. Sorry, not Ramona.
No, it's okay. Sonia and I went shoe shopping. I mean, Ramona and I went shoe shopping together. I think my favorite thing, I'm raising money is so hard, as you know, and I love doing it, but it's very challenging. My favorite thing to do is to meet with people one-on-one. I didn't only meet with Heather Abbott. I met with about 6 other victims of the marathon bombing. That day I went to Boston, and they were all women, and they were all, you know, just coming out of it. And it's so odd, you know. Bad things happen to good people, and it really is true, because every woman that I met was just so wonderful and brave and courageous. And, you know, they inspire me. You know, I'm there to tell them it's going to be okay, but they really just inspired me with their strength and their courage. And, you know, I remember I saw them after that day that I visited them in the ICU, in the hospital. I saw I had them come to New York for a Challenge Athletes Foundation gala so that they could be part of this sort of, you know, amputee community that's very successful and athletic and happy. And so they came in for the night to New York, and one of the women turned to me and she said, Aviva, you know, when was the last, how often do you have to use crutches? And I looked at her and I said, I don't want to say her name, I'm going to call her Jane. I said, Jane, I said, I haven't used crutches in 25 years. Wow. You know, they don't know that this temporary time of adjustment is only temporary.
Wow.
That they will be doing everything. So that's sort of what I'm there for, and that's kind of why I do the show. And, you know, it's tremendously rewarding to help other people and to really to make them feel better about this situation that just feels awful. And it's not awful. It's fine. They're going to, you know, they're all going to be happy and functional people again.
And Aviva, you should be commended for that. And it sounds like a lot of the housewives I've talked to and other people have gone to reality shows, they do it so they can bring awareness to a cause. And it seems like by you being able to do this, it gives people hope. And I think that's ultimately what your goal is, to give people hope, even though they lost a limb or they have to have a situation that's really a difficult crutch to deal with. They're still able to overcome it through seeing witnesses like yourself, Aviva, correct?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And, you know, I think it is so important, you know, anybody in the public arena, you know, I think everyone tries to give back and to help. And there isn't, you know, one person on the planet who goes through life unscathed. And there also isn't one person in the public arena who goes through life unscathed. Everybody has their baggage. And so those who are courageous enough to take their baggage and say, let me help you or let me share my baggage so that you can feel like you're not alone, I commend, you know, anybody in the private sphere and the public sphere who does that. But, you know, public sphere, you can really reach a lot of people. You know, you can make a living. People make a living from it. People start lizards doing it. And, you know, you can also help people doing it. So there's a lot of positivity by being in the public eye.
And you can either choose.
That's why I love you.
Yeah. And also, Aviva, you can either choose to do good when you get this opportunity of a celebrity experience, or you could choose to not capitalize on it. It seems like you had a reason for going on. It wasn't ultimately to get in the limelight for, I guess, reasons of just stardom. You're looking at others and how you can bring that awareness to others and also help people through certain things. And I'm sure that a lot of people don't see always the storylines on some of the Real Housewives shows, but they educate people in many other ways on certain causes, certain things, and to learn about, even though you might have wealth or maybe you have a certain status, you're going to have the same difficulties. And I guess it helps the everyday person as well.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's not, you know, what I'm doing is not just isolated to amputees. Anybody with physical challenges, anybody who's having, you know, a hurdle to get over. And yes, you're 100% right. I didn't do this show for the limelight at all. I got to say, I'm not feeling the glamour. I knew the show was going to be an uber headache. And I knew it was going to be hard because I had watched it and I had seen the ladies argue and the kind of personalities that are hired to do the show. And, you know, and I certainly wasn't doing it for a financial reward. And I just, you know, really at the end of the day, wanted to make a difference. And I looked at my husband and I said, you know what? We don't have any skeletons in our closet. Or I said to him, do you have any skeletons in your closet? And he said, no. And he looked at me and he's like, any sex tapes? And I said, no. So,
you know, our kids were young enough, they haven't gotten into trouble yet. So I did it, and I was like, you know what, no matter what happens, you know, I'll make a difference. And so I'll take the headache, and I'll take all the baloney, and I'll take all the nonsense and those silly bloggers. And, you know, at the end of the day, if I can make a difference, it'll be worth it. So it's been, and it has been worth it. It really has.
Well, you've done it beautifully and gracefully, and you are glamorous and fabulous and all of those things that we see. And you really have done a wonderful job in using this platform and this exposure to help others. And, you know, it's really, I think it's the best way we can come away from it and feel like we really made the right decision to sign on to this. We really have made an impact on people. I mean, I'm sure like me, I'm not even current with the show. Two years later, I still get daily interaction with my followers and just applauding me for inspiring them or, you know, encouraging them with my charity work or what, you know, my family life, all of that. So even today, where I'm not even on TV 2 years later, I'm still getting a lot of encouragement from the people that I'm interacting with, so that are following.
Oh, I can't imagine. It must be, you know, like hourly for you with your followers. Oh my God! No, I believe it. You look like Kathy Ireland. You have five children. You're getting you got divorced.
I mean, Kathy Ireland, thank you.
You do, and it's like, I mean, look at what you're pulling off. I mean, it's, you know, it's so relatable what you've gone through. It's so much, and you know, yeah. I think in 10 years, people are going to be knocking down your door. I mean,
no, they're
Something
big is going to happen with Meryl. Trust me. It's going to be bigger than the Housewives brand. I just believe it through her spirit and learning so much from her since we connected on my radio show and decided to do this. I just believe everyone she meets, she is able to touch in some sort of way to bring them ahead. And she's always looking to give back. And I think that's what she told me about you, Aviva, saying that you're amazing in that you always want to give back. You want to always want to pay it forward. Tell us other specific ways that you're able to do it, especially once you became a celebrity. Once the show finally aired the first season and you got out there and talked to people, you really have the opportunity to be in conversations with so many people and change their lives in some way, right?
Yeah. Well, it ran a huge span. I mean, from, you know, social media, emails, my website, I met hundreds of new amputees, young women, older women. There was one woman in particular, her name is Bea, and she has diabetes, and she was struggling. She couldn't walk because one of her legs was out of commission from diabetes, and she was deciding whether or not to amputate her leg, which was suggested by the doctors, and she contacted me and asked me what to do. And I said to her, if your leg is not useful to you and the doctors are saying to amputate it, you should definitely amputate your leg because you'll be fully functional. And to this day, she writes me these emails every month saying how thankful she is. I got her the doctors. I got her the prosthetist, and I literally was talking to her in the hospital through the whole process. And that was one whole story from beginning to end that I had some impact on. Young women who lose their limbs in accidents, it's just a show, contact me or their parents contact me. Can you call our daughter? And I speak to young women who are 16 and, you know, how hard is 16 to lose your legs? And they speak to me and they see me on TV and they feel like it's going to be okay. All the way to, I'll go to a restaurant and somebody will come over to me and she, like, is missing the tip of her finger, and she was coming to me and she was crying. And she said, you know, my whole life I've been so self-conscious about my finger. And then when you got on the camera and you were there with your artificial leg, you made me feel like my finger was nothing. And so it really runs the gamut, you know. It really runs the gamut. And, you know, one step ahead is to raise money. And, you know, on a larger scale, we've raised money and we've given, you know, limbs away. And same thing for Challenge Athletes Foundation. And now I'm just finishing up on a book, my first book, which is so exciting. It's called Leggy Blonde. And it's a memoir. And I'm hoping that the book, you know, through sharing some slices of life and experiences will also, you know, make people laugh and cry and you know, hopefully, you know, it honestly will help people. And not just amputees, you know, just people in general. We all have our, you know, stuff. And I put it all out there in my book.
And that's what it seems like, Aviva and Mary, and it sounds like you guys are so connected in so many ways that you use your status to help others. You use your status to have conversations, because when we're the average everyday person, we could do the same thing, but we sometimes choose not to do it. And this is a public service announcement for my listeners that are, you know, average people. You have the opportunity to impact other people's lives through your daily interactions with others. Choose that. Mary and Aviva have chosen it through being celebrities, but have utilized it in a way that's a positive way. We've all dealt with, and Aviva, I'm sure, and Mary, you've met certain celebrities that have snubbed you completely at one point in time, didn't talk to you, and you felt hurt and sad. It's great to hear how down to earth you both are. Wouldn't you agree, Mary?
Well, there are, Neil, there are a few real housewives. And several of them have become good friends of mine. And it really, our common thread is that we decided to take the risk and go on this show that was truly a risk because our families are involved, to really make a difference and give back. And that's really what is going to, I think, be sustainable in being able to use this action on this network, on this level of notoriety, that really the only way to really grow with this and grow this brand that we're creating is to make sure that it has positive impact on others.
So. Yeah. And, you know, it's a good point. It's just, you know, about people who are not on television or in movies and all that, you know, they absolutely can, they can give back and help. And, you know, actually, I talked to so many people and I've met so many people from the show. I actually have found that, you know what, people are really great and giving for the most part and wonderful, you know, as is. So, you know, it's wonderful to meet people and feel the love and, you know, people are by nature, you know, really good. And the people who aren't so nice, like, you know, sometimes you get those, like, weird tweets or, like, bizarro people who are, like, writing blogs. When they do, like, all that nasty stuff, I feel so bad for them. I'm like, how unhappy that they must be to use some, you know, public person as a punching bag. And I just want to go out and give them a hug, you know?
I know. It definitely is people that spend the time and energy to bring other people down just because they've put themselves out there, especially the good ones, the ones that have positive, you know, intentions behind why they're doing it, are usually the ones that are just, they're unhappy people, they're miserable people, then they're, you know, they're creating their own platforms to bring people down.
And what happens sometimes, girls, ladies, what happens sometimes, sorry to interrupt both of you, but is that what happens with these bloggers is literally they look at how the show's presented on television and they don't look at that they're real people, that really they're suffering through some hard times. What we see in the Real Housewives of Jersey, which is the one I really watch with my wife on Sundays, and I see specifically the heartache that's going on. Some of these people think it's not reality. This is really not happening to these people. They're really not sad and crying and are angry. In the case of, and really they are. And Aviva, wouldn't you agree that sometimes they cannot, they look at television and think of television as acting and that this is not real, right, Aviva?
Sometimes. And I just think that some people watch this and, you know, I don't know, they just sort of, they're very angry. Sometimes people get really angry at reality personalities. I don't really understand it. I kind of like, it's sort of weird to me. I don't really get it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, my theory is that, you know, there's a lot of unhappy people in the world, as we've just discussed, that there are a lot of wonderful people in the world, but there are a lot of unhappy people in the world. But I think enjoy watching other people involved with all kinds of problems and drama so that it kind of can deflect from their own pain and problems at home. And
yes, exactly.
That they end up, you know, relating and then end up getting jealous and angry at, you know, some of this, because we do have fame and we do have notoriety and we do have a following. And I think that the angry ones end up, you know, getting vicious and mean. And also because we're in an era of technology, people hide behind their computers. People hide behind their tweeting. You know, they would never to your face say a lot of these nasty things that go on. Never.
Right. Exactly.
It
definitely takes a certain kind of person to write something negative on the computer to somebody else. That's a rare bird, but it's a certain kind of bird.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to share with us about what you're up to? You're writing your book and you're taking a major. Good.
Finishing up my book and filming the show and taking care of my family and having a really fun summer. Doing my work with, you know, the individuals in hospitals and trying to raise money and what are you all I can handle.
How are you all scheduled to wrap your filming of this season?
I think that filming is gonna wrap the end of September.
Okay.
And I don't know when we're airing. But I know. Don't you tell me that we're airing? I know. I don't know when it's airing. I don't know.
Well, we didn't know that we weren't coming back until about 2 weeks before we were supposed to get our contract.
Oh my.
It's such an unusual business.
But you know, it's been a great opportunity for exposure for good. So I thank you so much for joining us today, Avila. You're such a dear, and you know,
Dom, thank you.
Welcome to you, and you inspire so many. So thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Avila, where can we find information on you? And then I'm going to ask for Mary, and then you can. Where can we find info on you, Avila? Your website?
Right on my website. AvivaGosher.com.
Okay, and then Twitter as well.
And Facebook Aviva Drescher and Twitter @AvivaGosher more current is probably Facebook and Twitter. Aviva Drescher @AvivaGosher for sure.
You guys are fantastic. And Mary Ammons, we can find information at Mary Ammons on Twitter. And where else, Mary?
LabelsForLove.org, and my personal website is up now, MaryAmons.com.
I didn't get to see that, and I'll have to check that out. So, guys, thanks for calling, and I appreciate, Avila, for you taking the time in your busy schedule, especially during filming, to come on the show. So you have to be commended for that one, because I don't know how many people could say they had the first to have to take the time. So thanks, Mary, for connecting me. And, Avila, good luck on the season, and we'll hope to have you back in 6 months to give us an update of what's going on with all your different charities. Work. So thanks.
Absolutely. And we'll be airing then. So we'll have a lot to gossip about.
Oh, my.
Well, thanks so much.
All right,
I'll be up in the city soon and I'll call you.
All right.
Thanks. Thank you, guys. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Real Talk with Real Housewife with Mary Ammons and the Total Education Network, Total Education Celebrity Show. And we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And I tell you what, it's so amazing how I developed connections on Twitter. I believe I tweet a ton, some for my connections to create relationships and really get involved in interaction and you meet new people. So I want to welcome to the program Nicola, the Bravo mistress. Nicola, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pleasure for you to be on the show and to talk to our audience, because I consider you, and it's kind of funny how I got in contact with you, kind of because I'm good friends with Mary Ammons from the Real Housewives DC, and I started just tweeting out different people and I found you, and then we've kind of been buddies during the New Jersey show. I see you didn't stay up for the 10 o'clock one. You must have done the 8 one a couple days ago, but I am kind of a closet Jersey fan based on my wife forcing me to watch the show, so that's how it happened. Then by the way, a lot of the Real Housewives started to connect with me, and now it's become kind of an addiction in a way. So I'm glad to have you on.
Oh, thank you so much. I think you're secretly a Housewives fan without your wife's help, though.
No, not at all. She's the one that got me going on it. And the Jersey one is the one I'm more hooked on. But now I have to watch the rest of the shows on Bravo that have had guests on, because they'll be mad at me if I don't. If I don't know what's going on with it. So tell us a little bit about your background, Nicola. We'll get into the foundation a little bit, but specifically your help with the foundation. But our fans out there really want to learn about specifically how you got so hooked in Bravo and specifically being involved in the TV show and everything.
It's actually weird. I joined Twitter a couple years ago, not expecting anything, of course. And then I started friending, actually, Housewives. And then I started my blog, and then I'm really good friends with the Housewives of Miami. Leah Black is one of my really good friends. And also on Twitter is how the TV show actually found me also. And we've been doing that for 6 months now. Our third season actually starts this coming Friday, the Jorge Show.
So amazing. So you were just a fan, started a tweet, and then created relationships with the Housewives before Twitter, I guess, became so flooded with things at the beginning. And then from there, the friendships developed and they saw how professional you were and you create relationships with them. And then through Twitter, connections happen, don't they?
Absolutely. It's quite amazing what a tweet will do and how far it travels.
Oh, absolutely. And I do some of the political tweets involving education, and I know everyone's hearing them, but they're seeing them, but they don't want to respond to them. But it seems like celebrities are, anytime we're promoting them, they're happy to do it. And I've had Leah on my show twice, and she's fantastic. And she was one of the first Housewives, and also Mary Amons. And now if we're connecting into Bravo, I had a really interesting other guest as well. So let's go specifically, Nicola, in specific, I guess, of the process of being on a television show, kind of creating content through that. Is it just basically I follow your Twitter and I see how active you are with your fans, that do you kind of just give updates with Jorge about it?
We kind of coordinate and I kind of go in my own direction. So he kind of allows me to interview who I want and bring on the show who I want. It's all about having fun and inspiring people and, you know, motivating women to kind of do their own thing.
And so tell us some other guests that you've had on the Jorge Show that you've interviewed.
I've had Leah Black from Real Housewives of Miami. I've had Carrie Wells from Married to Medicine. Toya Bush from Married to Medicine. This week I'm actually having Catherine O'Mani from Real Housewives of D.C., who's friends with Mary. So quite a few different people.
Yeah, and I can't believe Mariah Huck I had on from Married to Medicine as well, and she is unbelievable. She is a sweetheart, and I just tweeted out Carrie to try to get her on the show. It's amazing to talk to people, especially when they've gotten that celebrity status, how they're still so down to earth. And sometimes we watch the television show, and we don't know that they're really true people that, you know, get caught up in relationships like you and I get caught up in our real life, except it's filmed.
Absolutely. I've definitely had some phenomenal conversations with these ladies, and, you know, you wouldn't think that they'd be so humbled and down to earth, but they're just big and mushy like the rest of us.
They definitely are, and it's amazing, and it's funny how I befriended Mary just coming on my show to talk about her lifestyle stuff, and then basically, bam, she ended up working for me for a little bit involving doing PR for the organization I'm with, and then after that, our relationship's even become more and more, and I have never watched The Real Housewives of D.C., and I said, once I get my Blu-ray player, guess what? I'm set. I'm going to watch, and then I'm going to tweet her out, and I'll say, oh, this really happened, Mary? Or this really happened? And then Mariah said the same thing. Neil, when you have me back in a couple months, you better have watched the show. And I said, okay, I'll make sure we grab it on Netflix. But it's amazing. I mean, just think about our family drama in our lives and how many arguments we've had and different things. Imagine if that was filmed.
I would never want my family life on TV. So I give kudos to these ladies that were able to dissect them and pick them apart, actually.
Do you get offended, especially, you know, putting the name Bravo Mistress in any of the Bravo shows when people attack them for being on reality TV? Because there are a lot of attacks out there nowadays of people saying that this is just trash. Why even watch this? This is not real life.
I actually, you know, I've heard that from quite a few people, and some things are not actually scripted. The producers do set it up. You know, I was with some filming on one of the Housewives show, and, you know, I've kind of seen how it works, but it's actual situations, and the producers actually put them in these situations to see how they will manage. But, you know, 99% of it is real life.
Well, it has to be because, again, you know, a lot of these women have brands. They're looking to depict themselves in a great manner, but you put people together, things happen, especially people who don't completely agree on certain things. I think that that's the key component. Like, we look at the Jersey show right now. If it wasn't for Teresa's relationship with the other people, it would be a normal show pretty much, wouldn't it? If it wasn't for Teresa and the issues.
Exactly, because she has definitely had drama with everyone, and the whole show is based around that drama. So there wouldn't be a show without the drama.
And just imagine if she decided to start her own show, kind of like someone else, and that, what would happen then, and did her own show. And I hope that doesn't happen, because I believe Jersey is just so unbelievable how crazy every week is. What would you say is your favorite Real Housewives show on Bravo?
Definitely would have to be the Housewives of Miami, because I do have a relationship with these ladies in real life, and I'm really close to them. And sometimes it's really tough to watch them because I enjoy them all and talk to them all. But, you know, I have to remove myself from the situation and have to realize these are problems between them, and I'm not involved in this.
Oh, most definitely. And that's the hardest thing. Like, also, I interview a lot of NFL players as well, Nicola, and one was a Raider that was a great guy. But if he's playing the Steelers on Sunday, I'm not going to be cheering for him. But I might. It's a hard thing, and you're probably rooting for them on TV and saying, even though they didn't do the right thing. So I'm sure you're like, well, please give me the inside scoop. But, you know, also, a lot of people see these people, or, you know, bloggers and Twitter sphere, that they're not journalists. Well, with you getting this opportunity on the Jorge show, now you're a journalist. Are you being treated differently once you got that TV exposure, would you believe?
On Twitter, yes. I've always had a large following because I definitely love to engage with people and make people feel good about themselves. But since I've actually been on the show, yes, I've had a lot of different things come to me and people wanting me to do things for them and promoting them. So, yes. Definitely.
Yeah, you just better have your hand out and say, hey, it's got to be a win-win relationship, Nicola, because I have the same thing in my radio network growing. I started out on a small college radio station, and then bam, hired a syndicator, and before you know it, they didn't do anything for me. I figured out through relationships on my own and have grown this huge network that's so exciting, but I see the growth of bringing these stars on, giving them a segment, giving them the opportunity to speak, because you know that's what you're able to do on the Jorge show. If they go get interviewed, let's say on a television station or on, let's say, a terrestrial radio station, they're not really able to talk truly about themselves. It's always spin, it's always gossip, or it's literally the host is controlling the whole thing.
Exactly. And I'm the kind of person, if I'm interviewing someone, I'll go in the direction that they want to speak about. You know, for example, my interview this Friday with Catherine, we kind of spoke about it, and I'm allowing her to talk about what she wants to talk about.
Now, what about the experience once you first started interviewing people? Did you have any other experience on radio or television before this opportunity?
Actually, I did. I actually was part of Tamara Borney's podcast from Real Housewife of OC. I was one of the promoters. Her agent actually sought me out on Twitter. And then I also was part of another podcast based out of L.A. Agents sought me out, and it was back and forth with some different housewives. So, and then I do various things for the actual Bravo channel when they need something taken care of or promoted for a new show. I'm the one that actually sends the tweets out.
Oh, wow. So you're working for Bravo as well. What an opportunity.
I do side work for them in quotations, because their agent actually takes me out to do it.
Well, what opportunities? And this is what teaches people. You learn Twitter. You learn that you can't just tweet things out and not respond to people. because I've learned this very much through, luckily, a social media person teaching me how to do this. Then I had him on my radio show. This is so cool, Nicola. Yeah, have him on your radio show, you learn something, then you go and you take it on to your business and how you can utilize it to build your brand. But if you don't interact, you're not going to have a good Twitter following. And I think that's also important to understand celebrities that are listening to this interview. Other celebrities that, Nicola, if you didn't engage your fans, they would never follow you, get more people to follow you, or create more relationships, right?
Exactly. I definitely believe that being in the public eye, you have to engage people that follow you and who are your fans and who believe in you and who support you, because I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for them.
Absolutely. And what you did is you started from the ground up, and you have to be commended for what you did. And people saw that you're not trashing people. You are being real. You are truly being a journalist in how you cover things. You're not like in awe of these people. You understand they're just like us. And I think that that's where the celebrities respect you. And I think that the people behind the scenes respect you, because you know, a lot of bloggers out there take things personally. They, treat the talent like they are gods in ways, and really ask questions that are just not the kind of questions to ask guests, right? And I think that's what's made you what you are.
Exactly. And I always try to be politically correct with people and not insert my actual opinions. You know, if I do have an opinion, it's based on facts, and it's based off of what I see that they have done on TV.
And what, Nicola, what I try to do is this show, like this, interviewing you, I'm not going to ask the hard questions. But guess what? When you do my, if you were ever on one of my education roundtable discussions, I'm a totally different person. So if you would have clicked on one podcast and listened to me and say, oh my gosh, well, I'm a different person based on the different shows. And that's because if it's education based, it's based on the theme of the show. And the celebrity show is all about just basically learning about people, learning about their success, educating people how you became this. What advice would you give? And then we're going to talk about the foundation in the next segment. What advice would you give, Nicola, for somebody who wants to become a blogger or a Twittersphere based on a favorite show so that they can build credibility and build an audience?
You know, I came from a very small town, and the best advice that was given to me was from my grandmother, is always be yourself and never give up. And that's the same advice I give people, that if you want to do something, the only person that's going to stop you from doing it is yourself.
Okay, so when we get back, more with Nicola, the Bravo mistress, and I'm having a blast and learning so much about her. I just talked to her on Twitter, and she's probably like, what kind of show am I going on? Well, trust me, it's a very easy situation. I ask the right questions and we just keep rolling. You're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And I'm sure Nicola likes being called a celebrity, but once you become a journalist, Nicola, and you get on a big platform like TV in Tampa, you are a celebrity now, so you have to say that. And maybe not in front of your other Bravo guests, but hey, you're getting there, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
All right, so tell us about the foundation you're working with and how you're helping trying to raise awareness. Tell me about that.
Well, I actually got into doing volunteer work at a very young age, and I've also did work with Leah's charity, the Consequences Foundation. Right now, I'm actually doing work with the Starlight Foundation, Children's Foundation, and actually I was thought out on Twitter, again, how funny, but right now, we're trying to raise awareness for a fashion show that's going to be going on in October, and all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, is going to go to the foundation. And what the foundation does, it actually helps kids that are in the hospital. It provides a distraction for them. So they have volunteers that go into the hospital and either bring them toys, bring them entertainment. They find celebrities to visit them in the hospital. Sometimes they actually take them out to the aquarium. So it's a very good foundation. And it was actually founded by Peter Samuelson, who is actually a producer, and Steven Spielberg.
Wow. What an amazing opportunity for you. And one thing that I'm working in with is the Feed the Kids program with a company called Visalis, who's one of my sponsors. And my business partner is one of the big equity holders of the company. And I see these opportunities as well to get to feed kids, to help others. It's just so amazing. And I would have never thought this as just a school teacher 4 years ago, I'd be doing this stuff. And I'm sure as a blogger, you never thought that as well. So tell us specifically where is the fashion show going to take place in October? Tell us a little bit about that.
The fashion show is going to be in Miami in the Art District. Northwestern Mutual is the sponsor for the event. We're just going to do is two designers are going to be there, one locally from Miami and one from Italy is going to be flown in, and it's actually going to be a fashion show. There's going to be TV recordings, pop-up boutiques for other people giving them the opportunity to try to sell their goods, and if they do sell their stuff, 20% of their stuff that they sell actually goes to the foundation also. There's going to be restaurants there to help serve the food, so it's going to be a full-blown fashion show.
Wow. So how exciting. Is Leah going to attend this event, by the way, especially your Miami friends?
I actually spoke to the regional director this morning of the Starlight, Robert Peters, and he and I were actually having a conversation about that. So I need to reach out to my Miami housewives and see what they could do for us.
And you know what? I'm friends with Tim Hardaway as well. I had him on the show, so we need to see if I can help you with some of the other celebrities to try to get to the event. Tim's an unbelievable guy, and yeah. So my two Miami people are Leah and Tim. But I'm hoping to reach out in Orlando when I'm out in Orlando to make some connections with some celebrities as well to try to interview them on location. When I'm in Orlando in a couple weeks, but I will be out in Miami for the Miami Book Fair International in November. I cover it every year. So much fun. So that's great that that's happening and to have those people. So how can my listeners get involved already to help out for the fashion show? There's a way to raise money for the event right now or be a part of it?
Yes, actually there is sponsorships available. They could either contact me on Twitter at Bravo Mistress, and I could actually get them the information, or they can visit the starlight.org, and there's actually information also on there.
So have you gotten the chance to kind of observe what this foundation does? Have you gotten a visit yet? Are you hoping to do that to see how they help kids?
I'm actually going to do that on my next trip to Miami in October. I'm going to be spending the week there before the fashion show. And myself and the regional director will visit some hospitals. So I'm excited about that I'm actually going to have a chance to interact with the children.
I think that to make a difference with a child is just so tremendous, and to see that they have hope in their lives, especially going through such hardship with sickness and things like that. I commend you, Nicole, for being involved in something like this. In any way I can help, tweet them out and help them out, I will definitely do that. My international audience on Twitter as well.
I truly appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, the you wouldn't believe the international contacts I have for having a radio station, two radio stations in the UK. It's just an amazing thing how globally connected we can be in certain aspects and situations, and that's tremendous. What do you think your ultimate goal helping this foundation out? Where do you want to see it? As a spokesperson, where would you like to see this foundation in the next 5 years?
Well, they don't have any state or federal funding, so my hopes is that they raise a lot of money and help as many kids as possible. And, you know, he and I were talking this morning, and my main goal is to move to Miami, and I'm hoping that I could do some kind of work with the corporation itself.
Yeah, you sound like you need to be in the glitz and glamour of Miami for sure. Especially what you're doing now, especially, you know, with, you said, the show in Tampa and stuff. You got to get to Florida for sure. Get out of San Antonio. And so that's great. And are you hoping, is the Starlight hoping they can expand to not just Miami?
Well, actually, it's a national organization. They're based out of Los Angeles.
Okay, so what cities do they currently do their programs in?
Los Angeles, Miami, New York, they're actually international also. So they're helping a ton of kids. So it's just very important, since they don't get support from the state or federal, that everybody tries to give as much as they possibly can.
And I think that's great. How can our listeners also, if they're in those cities, volunteer? It's just going to the website as well, correct, to be involved in what
they're doing? Absolutely, starlight.org.
Fantastic. What's happening, Nicola, with that? And it's something, have you gotten the opportunity to speak to others more than just Twitter about this? I'm sure you've been promoting it on Jorge's show as well.
Absolutely. And I'm actually going to have my blog post up this evening with some other information about the organization.
Well, great. What we'll try to do is specifically when you can send me that link, and then when I start tweeting it out to all the radio stations, you'll love this, Nicola. Every station that plays our interview, you'll get a tweet with you on it. Talking about your interview and everything, so we can get it out to all the radio stations. So every time you're seeing, oh, I'm on in Chicago, oh, I'm on here, oh, I'm on there. And it's such a great opportunity to build audiences all over the world about what you're trying to do. So I think that's fantastic. Now, Nicola, again, we still have more on this segment. Is there anything else you would like to share about the foundation?
The only thing is, you know, some of these kids, and if you take this to heart, some of these kids are never going to come out of the hospital, and some of them do. And the ones that do, the actual foundation still provides for the families. If they need any assistance, they still visit the kids. They still take the kids on trips. So it's very important that, you know, they connect in the hospital. And if they do leave the hospital, the foundation doesn't just stop them. They're still with them throughout the whole process of their sickness.
That's tremendous. So after they leave the hospital, still there and help pay certain medical, you know, follow-ups to the hospital and things like that, especially with what we're going on and a lot of children, they're uninsured healthcare-wise in different states. I think that's fantastic to have this program.
Absolutely. I have to agree.
Now, Nicola, you're the jack of all trades, and I'm going to finish up, and then you can give us all the websites. Give us your background before blogging. What did you do? What was your field and all that stuff before all this happened?
I actually worked in the fashion and beauty industry, and I'm still there. You definitely got it right when you said jack of all trades. I have a very full-time job, and I do all this other social media stuff around my job. So I work in fashion and beauty.
Can you say who you work for, or is that not...
No, I can't. I'm sorry.
You can't divulge that information. Then you'd have to destroy the tape, right?
Absolutely.
See, that's why I love being an entrepreneur, Nicola, and I'm going to keep pushing you so that one point you could tell your job, I don't need it anymore. I'm a superstar. Goodbye. I got to do that opportunity by being an entrepreneur, you know, owning my own tutoring and consulting company, being involved in social media and branding, you know, building the radio show to help build revenue and all these different things that now I don't have to go and report to a boss. I can tell everyone what I can do. And I wish that for you someday, Nicola.
Well, I truly, truly appreciate that. That's so sweet.
And I tell you, it's just a process. You dream it, it will happen for sure. And did you attend college, by the way?
I am actually doing online courses right now for PR, so I'm doing a little bit of everything. I have a very busy schedule.
So you want to have a degree in PR as well?
Absolutely.
So now here's a question. Now I kind of do a little bit of PR, but I really don't try to step on the toes because of my own radio show with public relations. I kind of work hand in hand involving other services. How do you think you're going to be able to handle that, especially with your connections now and kind of not stepping on each other's toes once you become a PR agent? Because now you're booking guests for your show or for Jorge's show. How are you going to kind of toe the line so that with your clients, you're not, you know, competing with the other PR agencies for those clients?
Well, I am definitely a very humble person, and I don't believe I'm stepping on anybody to rise to the top. So, you know, I think through respect, and if the client wants it, then they're going to get it from me. But I definitely believe in friendly competition. So I think just remaining, you know, humble and open to what the client wants and staying friends with, because I do have other people people that are in the PR business also that I know that have really large clientele.
And it's very funny to watch, Nicola, because some of them are fantastic and some of them are terrible. And I'll straight say that. You don't have to say anything more, Nicola. The people I interview, about 20, 25 people a week, and I've dealt with so many different PR agents in my career in this radio deal, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I could just do this myself, book them. I don't even need to go through you. I could just message them. And it just drives you nuts that some of these celebrities think they need a PR person to do everything for them. And all they have to do is say, yes, I'll be there. Or here's my phone number. No worries. But I think what you're trying to build in your PR from learning this PR is to provide a service so that these celebrities can do what they need to do, right? That's probably your ultimate thing.
Exactly.
Because you see these big PR firms. And what do they do, Nicola? Nothing. They charge them an arm and a leg, but they don't provide a service to help build their brand. It's terrible. And I think that they don't. And I think that's what you're trying to learn through these classes.
Exactly. I think it's going to be more like a promotion of whoever I'm going to represent, and you know, kind of keep them in the good light if they need anything or do anything they're probably not supposed to do. But yeah, I totally get it.
And I think then that's another part. You're putting together what you're built in your brand through just being a fan, getting on a radio show, I mean, doing TV. Now you're going to expand to PR, and before you know it, you'll be a brand yourself. And maybe you'll have your own reality TV show. You never know. I don't know what your ultimate goal is, but hey, you got to think big. I want to do a reality show, and I'm not going to tell you the whole premise because I don't want anyone to steal it, but if just to know, you're talking to somebody who's 6'10", 280 pounds, former professional wrestler who turned teacher, now back in the entertainment business. So I think I have a personality to be on reality television.
Absolutely. You're hilarious.
Yes, exactly. So we got to tell Bravo. We got to tell Mary. Got to connect it right now. I'm ready for a show involving my education and my family and all these things. And we can kind of bring a new atmosphere to Bravo with myself. And then I'm willing to share. So we'll see what happens. You never know. I already said to my wife, and I didn't know if this is the case or not, I'd love to be on Andy's show. So, you know, Andy, you're listening and you're checking this out, definitely consider bringing me on the show. And especially I'll talk about how I became hooked on The Real Housewives. So it sounds great, Nicola. Where can we find more information on you, learn more about Starlight and also yourself?
You can visit my blog at thebravomistress.weebly.com. Follow me on Twitter at The Bravo Mistress, or you could check out my website, thebravomistress.net.
Well, thanks again for calling the program, Nicola. We'll stay in touch and have you back on next month with the guests. So it's time for you to use your PR to get me an interesting guest with you, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care now. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
You're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment.